Mark Twain famously said, examining comedy is like dissecting a frog. You can learn a lot, but you end up with a dead frog. Ronan Hatful, you began as a fan of the reduced Shakespeare Company, and Arden Shakespeare has now published the first definitive biography of the reduced Shakespeare Company, your book, Shakespeare in the Theater, Reduced Shakespeare Company. And so I'm wondering whether you still have that original love for the reduced Shakespeare Company, or do you have a dead frog?
Oh, you're very much alive and kicking.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, number 1003, Reduced Shakespeare Book. Our friend Ronan Hatful literally wrote the book on the Reduced Shakespeare Company. His new book from Bloomsbury Arden, Shakespeare in the Theater, Reduced Shakespeare Company, is the very first full-length study to be published about the RSC, and it focuses specifically on our Shakespearean reduction and adaptation. Ronan and I spoke last week on the eve of the book's publication, and he started our conversation by talking about how this book is a reflection of his teaching and vice versa.
I am submerged in the pond of the Reduced Shakespeare Company through my teaching. And that's something at Warwick, particularly where I teach. I still am a lecturer, teaching fellow. And also at NYU, where I also lecture, is that there is a big priority that Warwick have always prided themselves on, this in research-led teaching. So I do a module called Adapting Shakespeare for Performance, which is obviously is what you do as well as anybody, in my opinion. I use what you do as kind of exemplary case studies for what I'm kind of looking for my students to do, and in many ways what they are doing. I teach a first year module called From Text to Performance, where we focus on Hamlet, and a second year module where we expand that to Shakespeare in more like in general, but more kind of unusual forms. And I teach William Shakespeare's long lost first play on that module. And broadly speaking, what the students are being expected to do on these modules is to create 10-15 minute adaptations of a Shakespeare play.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So, and the remit isn't necessarily that they have to do a fast paced reduction like you do, but clearly I'd be a bit mad to not use, even if I wasn't an expert in what you're, it's quite nice to say that, in what you do.
The way you use our work in your classroom reminds me of one of the features of the book that I liked so much, because I read your dissertation about us, and it felt significantly longer and might have actually been, but it was written more in an academic style. And I think one of the beauties of this book is that you've written it to be more enjoyable by a general readership, which I don't know why more dissertations aren't written like that, but that's a topic for another day. Was it hard? Did you, in fact, rewrite some of the dissertation for the book, or did you just cut out the boring bits?
And both.
Yeah. Oh, good. Great.
Both. I cut out. Oh, what is it you get right? I mean, there is no sex or killing in my book, but like yourselves, you get right to the sex and the killing. Yeah. I mean, maybe it would sell more if it had more sex and more killing. I don't
know.
Probably. No. I mean, to answer your question seriously, I mean, if you want me to kind of give you an example of a section that actually didn't change that much, it was probably my favorite chapter to write in the dissertation, which was the chapter about the radio show, about the Reduced Shakespeare Company radio show. I loved writing that chapter. I think it felt, partly because it's a very self-contained piece of work that you, Reed and Adam wrote. It's an example of self-adaptation as well, which I think is super interesting about that particular artifact in your work. And also it was quite nice and almost like a palate cleanser for me as like a fellow theatre maker, theatre bod, theatre enthusiast. I've never made a radio show. I'm a musician, so I make music, but I've never made a radio show. That chapter probably changed the least because it was already shorter than the other chapters in the dissertation. This book is part of the Arden Shakespeare in the Theatre series. So the remit is to write about theatre practitioners who have done something pioneering, unique, culturally significant with the Bard.
It can't be overstated how incredibly grateful to Arden Shakespeare for including us in their pantheon of pioneers. But it also, I learned, what was also great for me about reading your book is that I learned stuff, you know, that I didn't know. Some of the things that came out of your interview with Jess and Daniel, I had either forgotten about or never knew, but also. I knew we were part of a vaudeville tradition that Richard Shook has written about, but I didn't know about drolls. I learned that there were such things as drolls in the 17th century, which we seem to be the 20th and 21st century echoes of. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I didn't know about the drolls before I started writing my dissertation either. Tiffany Stern, esteemed Shakespeare lecturer, an academic. Tiffany is an expert in the drolls in looking at them on the page than the stage. They've very seldom been restaged. I actually found out about them because I saw them staged by a company called the Owl Scream at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2016, 2017, around that sort of time. And it was, unhinged would be the word to describe it. An actor poured a pint of milk over another actor as though he was feeding a baby. That one wasn't Shakespearean, but they do have, there are three examples that are based on Shakespeare plays: The Gravedigger, Hamlet, Bottom the Weaver, Midsummer Night's Dream, and The Bouncing Knight, which is Henry IV, Part One. All bangers. So I saw a kind of, there's a performative link between the kind of anarchy of what they're doing on stage, and you don't pour milk over any of your actors, but there is an anarchy, especially with Adam's role in the complete works. And then I suppose the kind of the evolutionary link, Teddy's role in William Shakespeare's long lost first play, Abridged, to what you do. Then I kind of went back, I researched the drolls, and I saw them as this, like, one of the earliest examples of Shakespearean adaptation, full stop. They were performed in the interregnum period. So they were also, like, dangerous. They were illegal. So they were actors kind of taking matters into their own hands, which I know, like, what you do and what the original three guys did wasn't illegal. But you know, I think it's that element of trying to inject a bit of danger and a bit of the unexpected into Shakespeare. So yeah, I saw that, definitely did see, it was an interesting way to see it, because I saw a performance link and then kind of went back and found the sort of the connection. And Peter Holland, who I know has worked with you and actually is one of the series editors on the book, has also briefly kind of written about them as well.
I'm Peter Holland. I'm the McNeil Family Professor in Shakespeare Studies at the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the U.S., we'll be performing all the great books Abridged in April 2026 in Sault Ste. Marie in Holland, Michigan, and Adam Long's newly reimagined production of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, will be playing in at least 29 cities in the UK, including Chipping Norton, Basingstoke, Worcester, Epsom, Coventry, Huddersfield, Salisbury, Bristol, Guildford, Lichfield, Southampton, Poole, Hartford, Bedford, Tunbridge Wells, Newbury, Taunton, Exeter, Northampton, Bolton, Watford, Oxford, Ipswich, Bury St. Edmunds, Keswick, Newcastle, Doncaster, Wakefield, and York. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Ronan Hatful, talking about his new book, Shakespeare in the Theater, Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this with Adam and the new cast of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged that's going around Britain right now as we speak. We talked about that idea that, what the Reduced Shakespeare Company was when it started 40-ish years ago wasn't illegal, but it was anarchic in the sense that people hadn't seen Shakespeare done like that before, and it felt fueled by a particularly American sensibility.
Yeah.
And every time we've cast British actors and done a British tour, we've maintained the fiction that they were in fact Americans. We're mm-hmm. not doing that on this tour because it feels like times have changed. It feels like that anarchic reduced sensibility has migrated across the pond now, where it's less, what we do is less shocking. You know, we used 30, when I joined the company 34 years ago, we got questions. Do you think Shakespeare would be rolling in his grave at what you do? Do you think Shakespeare purists would be upset? We don't get that question anymore. So I do think we've changed the culture to a certain degree and made the kind of work we do a little more, I don't know, mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why because it does. Always, I mean, I feel very lucky that nobody had written a book about you before I did. But it kind of blows my mind that I'm not going to go on about this because if you want to find out, buy the book. but there are little. You have been covered briefly in passing by. For instance, the two people that examined my PhD, which is quite funny, which is Dr. Stephen Purcell, colleague of mine at Warwick, and Professor Douglas Lanier, mm-hmm. Who wrote for me the gospel on Shakespeare in modern popular culture in his book of the same title. But the fact that nobody had written anything full-length study about you is kind of mind-blowing. But I suppose maybe when you put it in the context of what you're saying, maybe because now your work is seen as more like, oh yeah, of course you would do that. More establishment, more de rigueur, and the fact that you have influenced, I think, so many, I mean, directly and indirectly. One company I didn't interview as part of this are the people behind The Play That Goes Wrong, which when I try and describe what you do, particularly to British people, I think maybe less to Americans, that's often a comparison I reach for, even though I don't think what you do is that similar to them. But I think it's just a kind of I'm sure you've had that link made before. We've also talked about the fact that Potted Potter, which obviously isn't has been misattributed to you.
Yeah,
as a company. That's one of the very first things I say in the book, right at the top of the introduction. And Dan Clarkson, who wrote that show, was inspired by you. I know that. And I know he's been on the podcast and kind of expressed that. But yeah, I mean, people who, companies and theatre makers who wouldn't necessarily, and again, I'm going to compare you to somebody that has been on the podcast, which is the Cue Brothers, who are, you know, did their Othello the Remix, which is four guys, so cross-cast, four guys performing Othello in about 90 minutes through the medium of hip-hop. I listened to your interview when I was doing the dissertation with JQ and GQ, and neither of them, to my memory, say, oh, we grew up loving you guys, because they're much more influenced by the rap and the hip-hop that is infused within that show, like Eminem and Jay-Z, etc. But I see, to me, like a huge associative link to the Othello rap in Complete Works. And again, for me, I'm not necessarily saying the guys that wrote Bill and that came from Horrible Histories were inspired by you, but when I think of the Othello rap, I promise I'm not about to rap, but I then think of Matthew Bainton doing like Charles II 2nd rap. It's all the Lonely Island, who we've had this conversation before, who are from the same, you know, Andy Samberg and co are from the same part of the Bay Area as you guys. Maybe one day I'll get to ask them a question, maybe if I go to like Comic Con or something and they're in something. But I've always found that, to me, and some of this, I should say, the last thing I'll say about this is some of this is me as an academic reading influence, which I think I have every right to do. But also, and this is maybe like the passion for what you do in me as like a fanboy, comes for me, I love all that stuff. I grew up loving The Lonely Island, Flight of the Conchords. But I knew you. I knew your work before, innately in my bones, before any of that, because I saw you at the Corn Exchange in Newbury, which is where I'm from, and where you are indeed returning to on the tour.
Well, I love it when academics don't try to deny their bias, their emotional bias. We all have it. It's like when critics say, oh, I'm completely objective. No, you're not. That's impossible. So it's great. Not only is this the first full-length history analysis of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, it's sort of the first published analysis of the comedy of Hamlet, a prequel, which is our most recent script, and which we hadn't written when you wrote your dissertation. What was that like, adding that? Did we provide sort of the perfect conclusion to your book by writing another show?
I mean, I know that wasn't your direct intention, but yes. That along with the epilogue that I wrote, some of which existed, which is called The Rest is Reduction, in a little, obviously a little nod to Hamlet. Some of that existed before, but that chapter, which is the fourth chapter, takes the form of an interview in the book. Mm. And I wanted to do an interview, for a variety of reasons. We've never fully calculated it, and I don't think we'll ever know the amount of time, the amount of hours me and you have spent talking to each other. We could release a kind of an epic books, audiobook series if we wanted to.
Yes, despite popular demand, we could do that.
In spite of popular demand, maybe.
Well, and also transcribing an interview is easier, but I imagine it's interesting. This is just occurring to me now. You start with the origins of the company, which is Daniel and Jess and Adam, and you end with the current artistic director leadership of the company, me and Reed. And so that seems absolutely appropriate.
And you know, the fact that you wrote this play. As I finished the dissertation I graduated in 2019. I finished the dissertation at the end of 2018, and that, you know, I helpfully for readers, potential buyers of the book, have included like year stamps on each chapter. So yeah, that kind of like that cover a period of time in your history, because I don't really regard the book as like a historical study in a conventional sense, because I'm only looking at your Shakespeare work, and that's a fraction of what you've done as a company.
Yeah, that's an important point. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the comedy of Hamlet years are 2019 to 2024. And it felt to me like it was a kind of a matter of space in some ways, in that I already had like huge amounts of material that I had to cut down, but I really did want to include something. The story didn't feel complete without comedy of Hamlet, because obviously there's so much written about Hamlet in my chapter about the complete works. That's my main case study in the complete works book, sorry, complete works chapter. And also because a thing that academics, as you know, are like asked all the time is, what's your methodology? And I am not, because of the kind of work I was doing, my methodology wasn't going to lie. I did go to the Folger Shakespeare Library. Shout out to the Folger Shakespeare Library when I first met you, in what, 2016 in Washington, when you were premiering, that, you know, long lost. But I wasn't there to like pore over archival material. It was nice to see. I think I saw the first folio. I saw your play a lot. I spent more time in the rehearsal room than I did in the library. So to me,
I know it's weird to be treated as archival material myself. And you didn't need to put on white gloves to finger me.
I, Your Honor, I did not have to. I saw my methodology as being interview led. That was what so to me, in a way, in the spirit of the dissertation, and obviously there's loads of interview material throughout the book, pulled from conversations with you, Reed, Adam, Jess, and Daniel, all of whom were like, all five of you, incredibly generous throughout the whole process. I was very, very lucky. So it felt to me that it made sense, it, kind of poetically. And again, I think the other factor was that I wanted to make this book as accessible as possible. And say, if I was an undergraduate, or just, you know, an enthusiast about the company, I'm well aware that like this is an academic scholarly book. But I've seen some pictures popping up on Facebook of people who have got copies, which is lovely to see. I hope that lots of people who are just fans of the Reduced Shakespeare Company will buy the book, either now or when it retails at a lower price in the paperback release. shout out there. I would think if you don't want to read the whole book, of course you do. But if you don't want to read the whole book, or you just want to dip into it, or you want something that's like a kind of a little like amuse-bouche, even though it's the end of the book, essentially, you can pick up and read an interview like you would on a blog or in a newspaper or scrolling on your phone.
An amuse-bouche,
yes. And that's quite important to me. And also, again, I think the only other thing I'll say about it is I for the last couple of years at Warwick, I've been teaching Hamlet more than any other play, as like a core text on our first year module, where the students basically learn how to, it's called From Text to Performance, where they basically learn how to turn a text into a performance. And so I've had quite a close relationship with that play, even without it being a focus of your Shakespearean output. So there is a little bit of, there is a little kind of introduction at the start of that chapter where I kind of postulate about how Hamlet has been reduced, and obviously the focus of your play being that it's as much about Ophelia, if not more, than it's about Hamlet, and that you're part of a continuum in and of that, you know, from Daisy Ridley in Claire McCarthy's movie to like the Hamlet machine by Heiner Müller. So all these kind of wildly, or, you know, these wild, or The Secret Love Life of Ophelia by Stephen Burkhoff, all these wildly different kinds of takes on Ophelia as a character.
Or Lauren Gunderson's A Room in the Castle.
Yeah. I was about to say that, yeah. So that felt quite important to say as well.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Ronan Hatful's book, Shakespeare in the Theater, Reduced Shakespeare Company, is available in most places, but it's an academic book, so it's kind of pricey. But for a limited time, Arden Publishers are giving RSE fans a 35% discount off the hardcover edition. Go to bloomsbury.com and type in discount code RSC when you check out. And if you enjoyed this conversation, you can see a longer version of it on our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/reducedshakespeareco. Then send us your selected history via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to anarchic spirit Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Miriam Cantor Stone. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Peter Holland, one of the editors of Arden Shakespeare's Shakespeare in the Theater series, and a great scholar, educator, and friend. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1003 3009ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Obviously, the Arden Shakespeare is going to be mostly interested in a book about the Reduced Shakespeare Company with a focus on our Shakespearean output. But as you say, you really have only covered a third to a quarter of our stage output. And so there is another book yet to be written on the rest of the complete works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Are you up for that? Are you passing the baton on to the next scholar?
Well, I do say in the book at some point that I hope that the book will inspire more people to study yourselves and indeed the field of Shakespearean abridgment. But yeah, I'm now the man for the job.
Publishers are standing by.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.